Our reading today is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Romans 12 again for the fourth Sunday in a row, and Lord willing, not the last one. I mentioned this last week, and I mentioned it again next Sunday night. Lakewood Baptist Church in Pewaukee, one of our sister churches, is having a one evening, couple hours time focused upon marriages. So it's a little bit of fellowship, a light meal, a lesson on marriage, and then there's a panel discussion discussing different aspects of marriage. My wife and I will be part of that panel, so I'm not sure value in this, but we were invited and we said, yes, we'll be a part. But I encourage you, this is a sister church that is I'm sure the content will be helpful and encouraging. They're part of when we do our conferences, they send a group up our way. And so this would be something that would work for you. I encourage you to consider that. You do need to register ahead of time, so they have a head count of what to expect. So go on their website, or there's a link in our newsletter that we sent out that you can register for that. Before I begin with Romans 12, 1 and 2, and one specific phrase for us this morning, I want to invite you to pray yourself, to seek God's word in your life, to humbly come before God's word. Would you pray? Father, we pray at this moment very purposefully because there is something that we desire to happen, and that is a spiritual transformation. And we pray because what we desire to happen, a spiritual transformation, a change, if it was just us and these words on these pages, that couldn't happen. We need your work in our life. We need your spirit to open up eyes. We need your spirit to convict, to strengthen, to give us the will and the ability to do. I pray we are humble listeners to your word. I pray your spirit points out application of where we need this word in our life. Would you use your word? Would you use it to strengthen your church today? And would you do it for your glory? In Jesus' name, God's people say. My family has a tradition. We actually have lots of traditions. We like our traditions. Kind of gives us a good sequence of life as a family. But one of our traditions is when it's your birthday in the Love family, you get to pick whatever cake you want for your birthday. And you pick the flavor, you know, vanilla, chocolate, or if you pick the best flavor there is for a cake, chocolate with peanut butter icing. Some of you guys should be taking more notes on that. And it's not just the flavor. You can pick what theme you want. And so we've had different kind of themes of cakes that kind of matches the interest that the kids are interested in. And so this year, one of the birthday cakes we had, and when a celebration of birthdays, was a Batman birthday cake. Okay, now some of you are like, that sounds really hard to make a Batman birthday cake. It actually was really easy. My wife found a Batman cake mold at the library. So all you do is you get a cake mold that's shaped like Batman, and you pour cake batter in it, and you bake it, and then you pop it out, and like, there's Batman and cake. And now you get to fight over who gets to eat Batman's face, okay? It's a great birthday cake. Okay. Now that picture of a mold, where something gets poured into, and it takes the shape of whatever that mold is the picture that we get in Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the world. I love how one person translated this one. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold, but rather be transformed. This week, the world you live in, Christian, tried in 1,000 different ways to push you into its mold of thinking, valuing, believing, and acting. We read, do not be conformed to this world. And this statement, do not be conformed to this world, might make you think of some maybe more overt ways the world might try to get you to conform to its mold, as if the world would be yelling at you their godless morality to try to push you into conforming to their godless morality. And there's a ways that the world does that. We read this statement, do not be conformed to this world, and some of you might pop in your minds some liberal college professor and some unsuspecting young Christian sitting in the front row and having their faith deconstructed moment by moment as that professor unpacks the lecture. And you're like, yep, the world wants to push you into a mold. But pushing into a mold of the world is, I believe, more often far more subtle. This week, the world tried to push you into its mold. Did you see it? Did you see the world pushing you in its mold when you turned off your favorite newscast? Super conservative though it may be. And you were left with fear and anger, not hope-filled joy in the sovereignty of God. The world pushed you into a mold. The world tries to push us into a mold. Did you feel that pushing as you sat with friends and the conversation turned into a session of bash your spouse? And you weren't pushed to love your spouse like Christ loves. And the world tried to push you into a mold. Did you feel the world pushing you into a mold as you were told over and over again through commercials and ads all the things that you needed to have happiness, all the things that you deserved, and you begin ever so slightly to nod your head? The world has a mold. After being told from Romans 12, verse 1, that our bodies are supposed to be a living sacrifice because of the mercy of God for us, verse 2 flows that thought into saying, now this is how you can go about that. If our bodies are supposed to be a living sacrifice to God, offered up because of God's mercy poured into our life, then by logic it says, well, then don't be conformed to what the world wants. Instead, keep being transformed to be like Christ. So I say it with this truth this morning. The Christian is supposed to be transformed into Christ's likeness, not molded by the world. Are you being molded or transformed today? Now, there is so much thought and truths behind this simple statement of don't be conformed to the world. It tells me who God is. It tells me who I am and my nature. It tells me who the world is. It tells me what relationship I should be having. The next phrase tells me what's going on in my life right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you think, I don't want to lose sight of the question, are you being molded or transformed? But as you think through that, or to help you come to an answer of that, I'm going to give just a series of truth statements to kind of move through this. So here's a truth statement just from this verse. The Christian is a new creation. Okay. The words conform and transform shed a whole bunch of light to telling us who we are, Christians. So when I read this verse, it tells me, don't be conformed to the world. It doesn't say, I know deep down inside, you are still a rebellious individual who hates God and loves all sin, but try really hard not to give into the world and be transformed. Okay, can we just, that would be a hopeless verse. That would... We could nod our heads and saying that needs to happen, but we'd have no strength to make it happen. This verse, when we begin reading this verse, it doesn't say, look, I know who you are deep down inside is still sinful to its core, but try not to be like the world. It uses a word. It says, don't be conformed to the world. Conformed, like the high schooler who goes to the first day of high school as a freshman and all of a sudden begins to act a little bit differently or dress a little bit differently or become interested in a few different things that they never even thought they'd be interested in. They're conforming to what's around them. Not really changing inside, but just, I want to fit in. See, this word conform is telling you, Christian, you are fundamentally different than the world. You are a new creation. You are born again. The old is gone, the new has come. Your identity is no longer the world's identity. Your identity is Christ, your citizenship is heaven. When God views you, he sees Christ's righteousness applied to your account that gives you perfect standing with God. That is who you are. So the only thing that the world can do to you is not change that identity. It can simply try to get the outward of your life to conform to what it says is valuable. I read this first statement, and I know there's part of me that says, I feel this, but I also see this massive amount of hope in this first statement, because it's saying, wait a minute, Luke, you are different. Something has fundamentally changed in you. You've been transformed. That identity that I just talked about, being in Christ, being a new creation, sometimes we use the phrase born again. Jesus uses it in John 3. That identity is not something that you could ever get to by self-improvement. No amount of New Year's resolutions could ever get you to be changed from your sinful nature. We're born in sin. We show that we are sinners over and over again. It is our nature. What the world has, what they present is just an outflowing of that sinful nature that permeates mankind. So when I paint a picture of saying, Christian, you are a new creation, you are in Christ, that change is not something that you and I could ever work out in our own life. That only happens through God. God providing the perfect payment for sin in Jesus Christ. Substitute, Jesus Christ. That change can only happen through God then working in your life to open your eyes up, to make you see the deadness of your heart and sinfulness, and to see the only hope that you could ever have is Jesus Christ's payment for your sin. And move in your heart to call out upon Jesus Christ as your only hope. That gives you a new heart. That gives you a new identity. That gives you a new citizenship in heaven and not on this earth anymore. So when I say, Christian, you are a new creation, there is also the other side of the coin that says, some of you might not be a new creation. Some of you aren't being conformed to the world. You're part of it. And you're part of its eternal destination, God's judgment. So one, I have a Christian here in this verse who's called not to conform to this world, which means they are now a new creation. But let's keep putting the pieces of the puzzle together here, because we also have the world. The world is actively opposed to God, another true statement. The Bible uses the world a couple different ways. They use it sometimes just to mean like this ball of dirt and water that we live on. That's the world. So sometimes it's just meant all the people who live on the world. And this verse is referring to the realm opposed to God. In fact, there's another verse that simply talks about this present evil age. The same word age there in that verse is what shows up in this verse translated world. It is this present evil age, and it shouldn't surprise us that this is what the world is opposed to God. We know that from God, the whole world lies the power of the evil one. Like, this is the reality that we live in. There's an enemy called Satan who opposes God. mean, he actively opposes God. This is what I pray against so often when I think about our community and I think about who comes in on a Sunday morning, because this enemy, Satan, so opposes God that he blinds, this God of this world blinds the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. So when I get to this verse and it says, don't be conformed to this world, Christian, there is a realm that is present all around you that you lived in this week that is actively engaged in the billions of ways to oppose their creator God. The scheming it does, the content it creates, the values it promotes, the blinding of the light of the gospel, it actively opposes God. Christian, please don't think that the world is morally neutral. Please don't think, yes, there's a Satan and there are people who are opposed to God, but there's a whole bunch out there that's just the Switzerland of neutrality spiritually. I am concerned in my own life and for Christians that can go about ignorant that they have an enemy that is opposed to the work of God in their life. They are living life oblivious that they are in the enemy's territory every day. Like if you woke up in North Korea with an like, I love the USA t-shirt on, would you be a little nervous walking out of the hotel room?
Yes.
Would you be concerned waking up realizing that today you live in the enemy's territory? God has blessed my family with three boys. Boys are different than girls. Raising them is different. Okay. I learned really quickly, and I kind of already knew this was coming, but with three boys, when they were really young, pretty much if you're alive in our house, you are at one point you were just game for a wrestling match. It just could impulsively start. Or you were a target for a Nerf arrow, okay? And so like there's just an aspect, like I remember several times I'd come home, I'm tired, and I lay on the ground. And lay on the ground in the living room, just communicated to the boys that that's wrestling match started. Dad's on the ground. And so you lay on the ground and you're all just relaxed and you're chilling, and then there's like your eyes open up, there's a boy just like flying towards you because he's gonna pin you. Okay. I've had to adjust my thinking a lot now. Like I don't lay on the ground as much, okay? Because I have to be alert that there's hostility in the love house a lot. Okay. Christian, we're called to be sober. We're called literally to watch. And too often, I feel like we put our guard down and we do life and we know we have some temptations inside of here, but we're oblivious that we live in a world that is trying to indoctrinate us and conform us to a godless thinking. We relax, we lay down. And we are fed attacks. And we take it in. And then we call it entertainment. We are a new creation. We can only be conformed to the world, not changed to it, because inside I'm different. This world is actively opposed to God. Now at this point, it might be tempting to think about how the world is so opposed to God and hostility to God and it's opposed to anything that follows God. It might be tempting to go full like, we're making doomsday bunkers, people. We're getting out of here. At the least, let's go up north, cabin off the grid, up north woods. Somebody like, this is the plan. At the least, we can go like full Amish mode. Like, let's just like cut ourselves. We'll live like nearby, but we're going to do our own little thing and get rid of cell phones. Especially get rid of cell phones. It's always listening, okay? We got to get rid of those, right? And that, there's an impulse that we can go that route, okay? Which is why before I get to this, the statement of like, don't be conformed to this world, this statement infers a truth that Jesus Christ really clearly, explicitly says to us. The world is actually opposed to God. The Christian's supposed to live in the world. The action point to what I've already shared with you, you are a new creation. The world's opposed to this. They want to make you conform into the image that is the world. The impulse, the application can't be, woo, you're so right, let's get out of here. Let's just cut ourselves off. Okay. I am thankful for how I was raised. Massively thankful for how I was raised. God gave me two loving, loving, godly parents that I'm so thankful for. When I look back at my childhood, though, my life was 99% cut off from anybody that was unsaved. I mean, it just wasn't part of my life. I didn't know barely anything of the culture around that I lived in. Now, part of that was really cool because I lived in a culture like I grew up in Amish community, Pennsylvania, with Mennonites, and then me as a very fundamental Baptist. Like, in that group, you're one of the most worldly people, okay? but there's a whole other part of the world I was oblivious to. And I look back at that, and there's part of me that actually grieves. Because for me as an adult, there is a struggle to know how to engage the world well. See, I can cut myself off from the world without even moving away. In fact, there's stats that show when people get saved in their adult life, it's usually within a couple years that they've cut off all secular friends have just been kind of cut off. And the social life's been replaced by the church, but I think there's value. We need each other in our lives. But we begin to just invariably cut ourselves off and cloister away. That is not the solution. Jesus says it in John 17. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Like literally, like you realize Jesus could have prayed like, okay, you know what, God, all my followers, we know the world's going to hate them. They're hating me right now. So, God, would you just zap all my followers out of this world right now? Just get them out of here. Some of you are like, yes. Top prayer request right there. He could have. He didn't. He literally prays the exact opposite. He says, like, I'm not praying that you take them out of this world, but you protect them from the evil one. Their identity is not of this world. They are different. They have a new identity now. They have a new citizenship. Just as I'm not of the world. And a few verses later, he's going to say that, but I'm sending them into this world. I'm supposed to rub shoulders with sin this week. Yes, the world opposes God. But the solution to that is not to remove the light from the world. It is to boldly be the light in the world opposed to God. The Christian is supposed to live in this world. And as I do life in this world, as I rub shoulders with what is against God in this world, I am supposed to be careful that I don't become conformed to this world. The Christian is to resist being conformed to this world. I think this can happen in any number of ways. I want to kind of just get your mind thinking so our radar would be up where we might see that conformity happening in our own lives individually. So I think there's a way where we can become conformed to this world simply because there's part of our own sinful nature that is still alive in our life that is pulled to the lust of the flesh. And so there's a way we can become formed to this world because we're still enamored by sin. And so we make it easy. We kind of compromise positions in our life to get as close to sin. I think there's also an aspect we can come from this world simply because we knowingly compromise, because we are afraid of the world around us. There's been a lot of studies that show this one. I read one this week of a psychologist who wanted to test group thought. Okay. You realize we always, at some level, we all do group thought. Right? We're in society. We think together. Okay. So they wanted to test the impact of group thought. And so what they did, they wanted to test it on teenagers. They got a bunch of teenagers, split them into groups of 10. And they gave the instruction. They brought the group of 10 into the study. And they said, you're going to be shown a series of charts. The teacher will point to different lines. When the teacher points to the longest line, you just need to raise your hand. I can't believe people get paid for those kind of studies. You're like, that's a good day, okay? But that's the study. Like, just raise your hand, longest line, raise your hand. What they didn't know out of the 10, they had talked to 9 of those 10 already and gave them the instruction that no matter what the teacher points to, you raise your hand on the second longest line. So think about this now. You're in a classroom. You've been told, raise your hand at the longest line, but secretly, unbeknownst to you, 9 of your fellow classmates have been told to answer the question incorrectly every time. And so the teacher would begin pointing to lines, and then they'd point to the second longest line, and 9 hands would just shoot up. And then they would watch the one person who they're actually studying. And at first they'd look confused, and they'd look at it, look. And over again, the 10th hand would come up. That they would knowingly get the question wrong just so they wouldn't be the one hand not up. Okay. Do you know how that one feels? To live in a society where if we were asked what is honoring and loving, 9 hands would pop up on one side of the equation. And you know you should keep your hand down. Yet I believe over and over again, because we fear the rejection of a sinful world more than the holiness of God, we compromise. You sit down for company training and are fed an inclusive language. You reject it in your own mind, but you make it a point in your own mind to keep your mouth shut. I mean, your relationship with God is private, right? And you got to keep your job to provide for your family. And we may not believe differently, but we conform to the world. I think you also, when we think through this word, conform to this world and how it happens, there's a part that happens just because I'm enamored by the world. There's still parts of me that are drawn to it. Just being honest. There's a part that happens because we compromise, knowingly compromise, because we are afraid of the world. But I think more than all of that, there's an aspect that we get conformed to this world subconsciously every day. I did a little bit of research just for fun this week to see subconscious advertisements, to realize the messaging that is put into advertisements and how much time is thought about what they show you and how it's supposed to make you feel. Do you realize even the simplicity of, like, how many restaurants' logos are red? Do you know why that is? Because it makes you feel hungry. Red is associated to hunger, and it works. It really does. Our world tries to get you to conform. The coworker telling you about their amazing vacation and how you deserve the exact same experience, just charge it to your credit card. Who cares? You deserve it. And you nod your heads and you think that sounds nice. And you don't realize that you were just squeezed into the world's mold of pragmatism, hedonism, and materialism. The adult children that put the stipulations on a relationship, and you don't want to lose your child and that relationship, so you keep your mouth shut. And we have passively gone along with or even endorsed moral relativism. You just got pushed into a mold. You stream a series of shows, and over again, you are fed a narrative of weak male leadership. This is a hobby horse for me. you will be hard-pressed to find a healthy, wise father figure in modern entertainment. It's not there. And passively, you will be fed a view of leadership and be pushed into a mold. For the umpteenth time, you will hear the message to trust your heart and be true to yourself. And you can even sprinkle in some verses to make it sound spiritual, but ever so slightly, you are being squeezed into the world's mold of humanism. You slowly, over time, get sucked into your phone and your screen and your social media and the never-ending stream of videos. And you become just like the average 18-year-old in our world today that spends more than 7 hours watching videos, social media, and video games. And you got squeezed into the world's mold of values, one video after another. And they may not even be immoral, just pointless. I can give you hundreds upon hundreds more situations from how we view having children, when to have children, how many children, what marriage is, when to get married, how to date, who to date, how to rest, when to rest, what is relaxation, what is your identity, what's your sexuality, what is compassion, what is love, what is a family, what is promises, what is finances and how you should spend them, what business should look like, what friendship should look like, how I look at possessions, how I look at even my retirement. The world has a message on every one of those topics, and it's void of God. And it's preaching its message every day we live in this world. And unless we are actively opposing it and fighting it in our own minds, we slowly morph into a mold of worldliness in our life. It's preached in the masses, in the entertainment, by our politicians, by our educators. We are in this world. We hear its message. Don't be conformed to it. So what do we do? I mean, we can see this. We can nod and say, yikes. What do we do? Okay. Again, I say, the solution is not to cut ourselves off. Okay. This even gets into, I know this gets into a debate of what is worldliness and where's the line and what do we do. Invariably, I told you how I grew up in an Amish community. I wasn't Amish, but everyone around me is Amish with Mennonites. So like, if you understand this, that means like, I grew up in a community where it was typical to be late to school because you're found a horse and buggy and you can't get around, okay? And then you go to the supermarket and you park next to all black cars because those are the Mennonites. Because you can have cars, but you can't have colored cars. You have black cars. And then I have my life as a conservative evangelical. So like, it's easy to look at this and define worldliness based upon who is more liberal than you. So like, growing up, Amish would look at Mennonites who drive cars and would think, whoa, they are so worldly. Must not love God. They're probably just not serious about God, okay? You guys can, don't smile yet because you know what's coming, right? And then Mennonites would look at the Amish and say, man, they're so legalistic. Man, see what they're not doing. They can't even have electricity. That's so legalistic, okay? And then they would look at people in my church and be like, that is so worldly. They got a red car. Whew. Okay, you see what they're wearing today? It's like all the colors right there. That's so worldly, okay? And then you get to people like in my church, and you look at them, and you're like, that is so legalistic. And then you look to the left, and you're like, that is so worldly. We have this tendency to view whatever's more conservative as legalistic, whatever's giving more liberty as worldly. Okay, I'm going to encourage you, throw that out. It's like, we don't have standards? That's not what I'm saying. But when we get to this wrestle of what is our relationship with the world, so often I think we like, either A, we're going to pull way back here, okay? And let's get rid of everything and let's have those super standards and we'll beat everybody in the church because our standards will be more strict. And we miss the fact that A, we're supposed to be in the world, and B, we still have a sinful heart. We can go the other extreme and like, who cares? We're in the world. Be here. Again, still not the solution. Next phrase. But be transformed. The solution is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I so become transformed to be like Christ and love like Christ that this world doesn't hold attraction anymore. The antidote to worldliness is not separation, it's sanctification. But be transformed. Now, there's part of me that we could take a vote and say, let's just keep on going today, because, I mean, the phrase just keeps on going, but we're not going to do that. But let me just show you where this verse goes. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to change how we think so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know that whole spectrum I gave you about here's conservative and here's legal and then you get really strict and somewhat strict and still strict and then you get to worldly and you're like, where do we fall and how do we make these decisions? This verse ends with, you could know what is good and perfect will of God. You could know what pleases God in all of this. And it goes to renewing your mind and becoming more Christ-like so that you can navigate that. But we got to come back for that next week. But just simply here is the solution. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, press you down to its values, its priorities, its statements of truth. Instead, yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to continually change you to be more like Christ and to love like Christ. Now, this statement to be transformed like this world, this is a continual thing. Please don't think you've checked it off, okay? If you think you have, we'll all take a vote and we'll show you haven't, okay? It's continual. It happens over and over and over again. Keep being transformed. It is divinely empowered. The way this is phrased, it is not saying, here's the next thing on your to-do list, get it accomplished. It is saying, it is being done to you. God is working in your life, Christian, to make you different than you were yesterday. That probably warranted a bigger sigh of relief, or at least a little muttered amen. God is working to change you to be different than you were yesterday. You are being transformed by the work of the Spirit in your life, Christian, to change you to become more and more Christ-like. But this transformation is cooperative. It's us yielding to the Spirit's work so that we see more and more the glory of Christ. We see more and more who He is and how special He is and how He satisfies us. So that when we look at this world, we can identify its lies, see its idolatry, and pull back and show its hopelessness. It's like C.S. Lewis says, I'm not going to give you the whole quote, but he gives a phrase where he talks about the Christian's pull towards the world, and he basically says, you Christians, we're too easily satisfied. We're satisfied with what is temporary. We're satisfied with what is fake. We're satisfied with what is a lie, when we could have eternal treasure with Jesus Christ. I will not become conformed to this world when my heart is consumed and in love with what is far more glorious. I've used this illustration once and I love it. It's kind of a light bulb moment for me. Growing up, my family had a tradition. We had pizza, homemade pizza, every Saturday night. It was a great tradition. I was super picky, so like, you can have skip meals on Thursday and Friday, but you know pizza's coming, okay? And so pizza nights would come, and I wasn't very loving, okay? Like, the pizzas would hit the table, And I would just, dad's praying, and I'm kind of looking like this and counting how many pieces there are and then doing math and dividing to know who gets how many pieces, because like, if there's like seven of us and mom made 30 pieces of pizza, then we're all going to get 4.13 pieces, or if I eat really fast, I get the fifth piece myself, okay? And so I just dive in, okay? There were some nights, though, that my mom, maybe she was feeling generous, or like she just, the dough rise more, she would also make homemade cinnamon rolls. Okay, yeah, see? You guys were in agreement here. Can we, amen, cinnamon rolls are better than pizza, okay? Just like, preach that one right there. So on those nights, you'd sit down, and you'd smell pizza, but the oven would still be on, and you could smell cinnamon just kind of wafting around you too. And those nights, I approached pizza far differently, right? Because there's like, I'm going to get cinnamon rolls, and they're better than pizza. So on those nights, you can be really generous. You'd be like, I really don't need the pizza. Like, you have the second piece of pizza. Which piece do you want? Because you know in just like 5 minutes, man, you get cinnamon roll with icing on it, and it's all gooey in the middle, and you might get two pieces of cinnamon roll. Okay. Do you see how about seeing something better made you change what you viewed about the pizza? Don't be conformed to this world. Because you can see something that is far better than this world. It's Jesus Christ. Paul calls it the greatest treasure is knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That is better than any investment advice that the world says is going to be giving you happiness. Jesus gives me a better destination, far better than a luxury retirement. He gives me eternity with him. Jesus gives me a better love than I could ever discover in this world. See, the solution to be conformed is finding a better treasure and being transformed. So are you being conformed or are you being transformed? Athanasius is an old, old name, and we're going back hundreds and hundreds of years. Athanasius was a bishop pastor in Alexandria. He stoutly opposed a false teaching about Christ that claimed that Jesus wasn't the eternal Son of God. He wasn't deity. He was below God, a teaching that sadly has shown up in other denominations now. Athanasius was exiled 5 different times. Talk about being kicked out of your city because you were following Christ. Finally, he's dragged in front of the emperor, and the emperor reproves him and asks, "Do you realize that all the world is against you, Athanasius?" It is said that his response was quickly, "Then I am against all the world." Christian, you are a new creation. When we say goodbye this morning, we will walk into a world that is opposed to Christ. Our call is not to run away from it, to hide from it, but to live in it. Live in it with the light of the gospel, but not be conformed to it. Because we know that there's a greater treasure in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, I say thank you for your word, how it works in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people say, amen.